Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless. Got the bed and the grill all set. The charcoal is laid out. The lighter fluid has been applied. I must tell you, this cookout could get pretty hot this evening. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped inside the kitchen. Timeless is alive.
What a thought. I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, that they invented you. Since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was, but these bright lights turned me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, and this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast. And get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. That could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs, man. And like I said, this show will get pretty hot. It's based upon you, the caller out there. Any topic that y'all got on your mind, call in and talk to us, man. This is about y'all. I know the hot topic as of now. I'm not even going to jump into it as of yet. I do have my co-host and my brother with me, Tommy B. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll get right into things, man. Start off on the lighter side of the grill and talk about the Western Conference final situation in the NHL, where we did it quickly, trying to pick a team heading on out. So far, so good. I pulled one out and going with San Jose, but I did it for, Sports City purposes and somebody that isn't here any longer. Just did it because he's a California guy. But San Jose actually pulled it out late in the third period and ended up putting up three scores in that last period up against St. Louis. Do you think this could actually help catapult them to be ready for the Stanley Cup final? Or do you think St. Louis has something up their sleeve that they can get back in this and tie this back up in Game 6 and make a very important Game 7 happen?
The Western Conference playoffs for the hockey has been very interesting. I mean, it could possibly go back to Game 7. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me one bit with the way these two teams have been battling. I mean, but St. Louis might have blew it because they were up, I believe, 2-0 and let San Jose come back and win it. So, I mean, They're going back to San Jose, correct?
Yes, they are.
This series could be over also, because I think the Lightning finished Pittsburgh tonight. I really do.
I really think
Pittsburgh is done tonight. At least I hope so. Let's put it that way.
Very interesting. I don't know, man. Pittsburgh has that power to get back into this, but just like you, I mean, with Tampa Bay actually stealing that game, they don't want to have to go back to Pittsburgh. I think that would be the importance of, you know, addressing the bulletin board. But looking at this Sharks situation, St. Louis was up early, 2-0. They ended up getting a goal in the first as well, having a 2-1 score going to the intermission. San Jose and St. Louis ended up tying the score up after the second intermission, and San Jose just got hot and put forth those three scores, in which seeing these teams go back and forth, but seeing these teams put up a good scoring amount, I feel like it's anybody's game. But right now with St. Louis going, with San Jose going home, I think they have to shut the door on the Blues. If not, they would not want to face a Game 7 up against a St. Louis team that's just been missing the cut of, you know, being in the Stanley Cup final for the past couple of years. I mean, they have been playing good hockey, but falling short year after year. So the Sharks have actually been getting beat up and addressed by teams like the Ducks or the Kings, teams in that state with them in California that have been knocking them out of playoff contention. Now, this is a situation where both of these guys have their destiny in their hands, but right now the Sharks cannot afford to lose an important Game 6 that could end up having them go right back to St. Louis where they had to steal one big late in the game last night. Now, you already addressed the situation of the game coming tonight with the Tampa Bay Lightning going up against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The keys for tonight, at least for Tampa Bay, since you have a good inkling toward what Tampa Bay could do tonight, your thoughts on what they have to do tonight to knock off the Penguins and have them sit home for another year?
Get a lead and keep it. Play aggressive. Stay aggressive the whole game. Do not let down. Because you cannot let Pittsburgh jump ahead. Even though they have, and it seems that Pittsburgh settles down, I guess you can say, you can't take that chance. But Tampa needs to stay aggressive the whole game, get up on top, and finish them. Because, like you just said, for San Jose, you don't want to have to go back to Pittsburgh and have to win there. You need to stay aggressive and stay up and play in everything and play smart.
Especially being at home, especially having that relaxed mode where they try to like play off of the crowd. They have to know the importance of that because, just like you said, it's not easy to go into Pittsburgh and beat them in a Game 6 or Game 7 situation. I was happy that my Blue Shirts were able to do it last year with the Rangers pulling that off. But you have to think that they have a bit of taste in their mouth, knowing that they are a team that has the potential to get to a Stanley Cup final and teams being able to come on their ice and finish them. This is a situation where Tampa Bay controls their own destiny, them being at home, and taking this game late up against the Penguins the last time that they played, winning that in an overtime facet, that they have something to build off of going into this game. So, you know, I definitely think that Tampa Bay has the potential to shut the door, but knowing the Penguins are going to come out with every stop, nick and cranny, to push for a Game 7, I think it's something that Tampa Bay is going to have to worry about and trying to stump them as soon as possible. If not, if Tampa Bay has their mojo, get a couple shots on goal and, try and build for some rest to see what happens in the other series, I think this can actually do them some justice. And anything else before we do get away from that, though?
Yeah, Tampa cannot let this get to overtime. You need to get their Pittsburgh's confidence out and finish them. Do not let Pittsburgh hang around.
Okay. Now, I feel some type of way before I jump into the NBA. But I won't. Tommy, is there a topic that you would like to address? Anything that you've heard across the sport landscape that you would like to discuss before we go any further?
Not really. I can't think of anything. I mean, unless you want to talk about the UFC. I mean, once again you had Ortiz, a former UFC, former Bellator, came out and said if Dana White is no longer running the company, that the UFC would fall. They would not be the same.
Okay,
that's
well,
funny
you're
because
that.
The last time I checked, Tina Ortiz couldn't stand Dana White. Personally, I think this is just Tito trying to make his name relevant again, personally. Shut up and stop beating your wife.
How about the upcoming fight between Rockhold and Bisping? Knowing that Luke actually has become the bigger name out here, your thoughts on that fight coming up?
I look for Luke to win that. I mean, nothing away from BC. It'll go all, I believe, what? It'll go, I think that fight's set for 5 rounds. It'll probably go all 5. I really do. I think it'll go 5, but I look for Luke to win it.
Does Luke's name become as big as Chris Weidman or Anderson Silva, guys in that weight class that just were so memorable to the game as of right now? Do you think he actually makes a big name for himself, just like the guys that were just before him in the division?
Yeah. I actually think he would have beaten Chris Weidman if Chris Weidman would have came up first, because that was the fight scheduled. I actually think he beats Chris Weidman for the second time. Now we got to wait for that fight because there's another fighter with another injury. It seems like this is starting to happen a lot more.
Okay. One more thing before I do jump into the NBA. I'm trying my best to try and search for things. Your thoughts on your matchup tonight with the Mets. I was going to say the boys from Queens, even though they are from Queens, but I'll say the Mets visiting the Nationals. This game just started. It's in the bottom of the first. Hindsight on this game right here with both of these guys sitting atop the NL East.
We're going to come out and hit the ball better than we did last night. That's what it comes down to. And hope that Strasburg has the same stuff that he's been throwing. Strasburg's pitched well, 7-0, trying to go 8-0. If he can, we need to jump on Harvey and crush his confidence quick, very quick. If we can put up a good inning like we did and everything get going, it's fine. I like our chances. But this division between the Nationals and Cubs are going to be a battle all year long.
Well, both of them are in separate divisions. So, I mean, they're in the same league, but you guys being in the East.
The Nationals are in the same division. They're both in the East.
No, you said the Cubs. I thought you were thinking the Cubs, too. Well, even still, within the division, with you two sitting at the top of the division, is definitely going to be interesting. But this matchup, I agree with you. The way that Harvey has actually come out of the gates and not been pitching well, he's under 500. He has 6 losses thus far also. I agree. If the Nationals jump on him early, get men on base, and just like your little problem with your team is leaving men on base, if they can actually score some runs, this puts the pressure on the Mets, even though the Mets' offense has actually been doing decent this year. So,
Harvey is off the leadoff runner, the leadoff hitter. Revere is on base.
Okay.
That's been our key, is if we can get Revere on base. Yes, he's struggling. He hasn't played in a while. mean, he just came back the beginning of the month from being injured. Harper struggling. I mean, Bryce is really, really struggling since the Chicago series, after they walked him on everything. He's struggling. There's pitches that he, beginning of the year, he'd have crushed out of the ballpark. Or he'd have drove into a gap, and he's not. He's popping it up, then it's getting aggravated, throwing the bat down, and everything. So, this is a big game. If we can stay up and everything, we'll be fine.
Okay, just like you said, it's one man on, no outs. It's still early. Ben Revere being passed around, started his career in Minnesota. It's crazy how Minnesota and these Nationals are tied, from Denard Stan, now Ben Revere, too. This is crazy. But I will be watching this closely as well, as much as possible. We also have the Blue Jays going up against the Yankees. The Yankees slowly turning things around. Hopefully they can get things done. The Cubs are sitting up 1-0 with the man on up against the Cardinals. That's another game to watch closely. Earlier play was with the Rays up against the Marlins. And Stan actually got a big hit today, finally. I didn't know his number was that bad. Out of his last 30 at-bats, he's 4-for-30. Giancarlo Stanton has been struggling that bad. He's 4-for-30 his last 30 at-bats. So this is something that people need to watch, especially all of the money that he just soaked up, too. So they actually were addressing that as, big-time batters are in the game. It comes with the rise and fall of them potentially striking out or not getting on base, and boy, is he in a slump. He actually had a big hit today, but they still ended up falling short up against Tampa, splitting the series.
You said it. New York moving their way up. The Yankees are up to third, people. They're starting to turn it around.
I feel like it's only so long those Yankees will struggle. As bad as I live in this area and have to hear from every one of my friends that I know that are diehard Yankee fans, I don't think they'll struggle too long. But just like I said, it's always around the month of June once it gets warm, the Yankees start playing strong ball, and it carries for them. So this is something to be concerned about if you're in the AL in general, not even just the AL East, but if these guys start picking up wins, getting their confidence back, this could be an uphill battle for any team trying to run into a desperate Yankee team. Desperate, and I mean that.
There's a big series in Boston with Colorado in at Boston. I mean, that actually could be a very interesting series.
I feel if Boston takes care of business, they should be fine. I literally look at this as they could potentially get a sweep.
You got Trevor Story hitting in that ballpark.
Right, but
that could be fun to watch.
Okay, Bradley's been hitting the crap out of the ball, and so has Poppy.
That whole lineup in Boston's been hitting the ball.
Right, but as I'm trying to say, and plus they've been putting up 5 runs or better a game. Like that's tough. That's tough. Believe it. So, the Colorado Rockies are playing good ball right now, but the Red Sox are playing a little bit better right now. But I don't want to count Colorado out because I already started the season out doing that, and it was like they heard me. So I don't want to do that. I kind of want to keep my mouth shut and don't talk no more about it. Okay. Anything else in MLB that you'd like to discuss before we start talking about the drama that's going on right now?
Okay. The White Sox seem to be I got one. It was something that came up pitching-wise. I want to get your opinion. I'm going to ask pretty much the same question, but I'm going to add a different picture in there, too. It was something that I've seen on MLB Network, and they threw it out there. I want to see your opinion. If you agree with me, the guy that I picked, and MLB, the guy that Pedro Martinez was the guy that picked somebody. In the next 5 years, you had the chance to pick one pitcher that's young, you've got Syndergaard in New York. You got the Chicago's Arrieta. You got Chris Sale out of Chicago. So who was the other guy? I'll add Steven Strasburg because he's three. Out of them, who would you want in the next 5 years?
That is a very difficult question. One being, if you look at Major League Baseball today, right? Interesting, right? Major League Baseball, they drool over left-handed pitchers. So Sale would be one, right? Just looking at it like that, Sale would be one, right? But two, looking at the way Syndergaard has actually been pitching for the Mets and his size and height that he's actually been on the bump with, coming down with interesting speed, and the crazy part about this, this guy is with power as a pitcher. He had a game with multiple home runs in the game. Like, he saved his own self, like, hitting bombs. Like that's big. That is big for him. So, Syndergaard not only being a great starter, but also a bat that pitchers have to worry about. He's a left-handed batter, so it's not like he's just up there hacking. You know, a lot of pitchers just try to, like, blow steam. He's actually hitting the ball and making contact, too. So, I think that actually inspires the team, 1-8, hitting in front of a pitcher that's not only making hits and getting RBIs, but he's getting on base as well. So it's between Sale and Syndergaard. Man, if I had to pick between the two of them, no, I would go with Syndergaard. I'm going with Syndergaard. I'll say Syndergaard.
That's who I said. That's exactly who Pedro said was Syndergaard. And this
right.
is why Syndergaard is still learning how to pitch. Syndergaard, the Mets rushed him through the minors to get him up to the majors. Syndergaard, his last start Sunday, he threw a 94 mile per hour slider. Okay? 94 mile per hour slider. The dude, I know he's in my division. And he's a rapper. Dude is a beast. He is scary good. And he gets to be even better as the years go. We could see multiple no-hitters for him in a season.
I mean, he already had a game with two of them in one. But looking at what he's been able to do with this team, and he has his own fan base right now. In the New York market, they're actually, you know, following this guy pretty much as the rest of this rotation actually starts to get their mojo back. Because they're only so long that they're going to be able to roll with Bartolo Colon. Bartolo's getting up there once Harvey starts to turn it around as well. Syndergaard has been the only consistent one in that rotation right now. I have to go with him, man. A fan favorite. It's not like he sits up there and talks junk. There's a lot of pros going for Syndergaard instead of actually talking bad toward it and throwing bad nature around this pitcher. He's actually been a guy that a lot of people respect around the league. And I much as I want to say Phil because I'm an AL Central guy, I got to hold you and go with Syndergaard the way that he's been performing. Okay. The drama, if you will. Now, Eastern Conference Final, and I know, Cleveland is expected to take care of business. But while it's going down right now, the Toronto Raptors lock this series up at two games apiece, in which finally both of these guys have been able to come off with the same type of game, being DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, playing good basketball at the right time in a game four must-win situation for the Toronto Raptors heading back to Cleveland. Your thoughts on the game last night, and what do they need to continue to do moving forward?
I'm shocked. I am completely shocked. I mean, congratulations, Toronto. I'm shocked. I did not see did not see them getting two and tying this up. Maybe one, yeah, I give you that. But two? Wow. Now I'll ask you, I'll throw a question at you, Ty. What's this big question of the day? Can they do the same thing in Cleveland now and still won in Cleveland? Because if they still won in Cleveland, that puts everything, Cleveland, it puts all the pressure back on LeBron and everybody in Cleveland to go back to Toronto and have to win. Because if they don't, bye-bye, LeBron. You choke again in a playoff game. In a series, I should say. So do you think they can go back up there and get a win in Cleveland?
That is the big question. Because both of them cannot play well away from home. That's been the tall tale about everything in this postseason about these two teams in the Eastern Conference Finals. Is that Toronto has not played well in Cleveland. And Cleveland has not played well, at least in this series, in Toronto. Because everywhere else, they swept. So they did enough to get off the floor and just continue to win. But right now, this is a very interesting situation, and here's why. 1 through 3? Yeah, I do one through four. I don't even go that far. I'll go 1 through 4. Depending on how they start the rotation for the Cleveland Cavaliers, do not play defense. Kyrie Irving does not play defense. As you see Kyle Lowry coming off with 4 straight threes in the second quarter while Kyrie sat there and watched it happen. On the floor, just watching Kyle get his mojo back and his confidence back. Two guard, J.R. Smith. When does J.R. Smith ever play strong defense? Let's be honest. LeBron James is one name that we could try and throw in there, but his consistency on the defensive side of the ball, I normally usually see LeBron coming after somebody from behind to pin their shot against the board. There's no strong man-to-man defense for any of the names that I've said up on this part. You got Kevin Love, who people lift their chops at going after Kevin Love. And, oh, yeah, if you haven't seen the movie Unbreakable, Kevin Love is Mr. Glass. He's hurt again. Don't laugh, because I'll laugh with you. He's hurt again. I think he'll still play. But it's always a critical point in time where Kevin Love is faulty again. And I said this the other day before I actually heard the show that he came on with Monday. So I think I said it Sunday with everybody. You mean to tell me that Kevin Love is worth over $110 million? And he gives you 10 points. 10 points. The game before that, he gave you 3 points. He scored 13 points in 2 games. Something is incredibly wrong right now with Kevin Love. I said it. Next thing you know, it's weird. Stephen A. Smith said the same exact thing I said about Kevin Love and how much money he's getting. And I don't want to make that a deciding factor, but damn, if you're signing him for $100 million, he has to be a part of the offense. 10 miles away, we're drawing up plays so Kevin Love can hit his specialty or sweet spot. I'm not having him out there on the floor to sit in the corner and wait till somebody collapses so I can kick him for an open three. Like, stop. Stop. This dude is a double-double if you play him the right way. There's no point in what's going on. Of course, you get the best effort out of LeBron. I give Tristan Thompson respect because he at least protects the rim while he's in the paint, but I don't find him extra defensive. I think he's a rebound monster, and he jumps tall enough. He's 6'11", so he jumps tall enough to stop anybody at the rim or make them, you know, change their mind on what they want to do at the rim. But I don't find any defense for this Cleveland Cavaliers team, any. I have not seen them really lock up anybody. Only team that they've locked up are guys that shoot themselves into trouble, i.e., the Atlanta Hawks and the Detroit Pistons. Because the Pistons, all they wanted to do was shoot the ball. And the Hawks, oh my goodness, that's everybody on the team except Horford. And Millsap's a shooter too. So everybody wants to stay around the perimeter and shoot shots. That's what hurts you. Now you got Toronto going to the lane.
Is it safe to say, at least I believe, Kevin Love's playing his way out of Cleveland. He won't be there next year.
You think it's that bad? He just signed the contract. Do you think another team would soak that contract up with Cleveland?
You don't think the Lakers would want him?
Why?
Maybe.
Listen. Why? They have Julius Randle.
True.
Julius Randle is talented. It's not even like okay, we're not going to watch this guy develop. He's talented. I think this farewell tour for Kobe hurt all of these guys for a year. We're going to see the real Lakers next year. I think all of them really took a backseat to watch Kobe wave at the crowd and blow games. Because you finally seen the Lakers play a strong Jazz team, and that night the Jazz were looking for a playoff spot. If the Rockets would have lost, they had to win that game to make the playoffs. The Jazz were hungry for that game. Then they found out the Rockets won. It's like, okay, so be it. So it's like you've seen that Lakers team play ball for real, for real. So I think Julius Randle stays put. I don't think that's somewhere where Kevin Love will go. He is an Oregon guy, but I don't know if he goes up to Oregon in a hurry to, you know, try and upsee what's going on up there with Plumlee and Aminu and, you know, C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. So, I mean, it would be interesting if he went back to Portland, but I don't know. I'm honestly saying that he's stuck in Cleveland until that contract expires. I don't think no team picks that up, especially the way that he showed himself. I mean, it takes a team of nobodies for him to be a star, be 26-12 in Minnesota, but as soon as you get around a mega superstar, and an all-star star, however you want to address it, with Kyrie Irving, that you simmer down to the point that you get lost in the stat sheet. Like, you get lost in that. So I don't know. I really think Kevin Love stays. I don't think any team will pick that up. It's interesting that you say that. I'm not even dismissing it like that's not true, because the way that he's playing, I don't think he feels comfortable around.
He wants to be there.
Right. That's what I said. I don't think he feels comfortable being there. I don't think so. As much as they do their secret handshake, so on and so forth, I feel like he's looking for somewhere else to go. It would be interesting if he did leave. If he did leave, I'm coming to you for the lotto numbers. I am. How do you feel about him? Do you think that he will play his way out, especially if the Cavaliers don't get it done this year?
There's a possibility. He just doesn't. There were reports that last year he wasn't happy. And LeBron even came out and said this and said that. Then turned around and retracted it and said, no, I meant this and all. I mean, the question is, like you put, who pays his contract up? Who needs a big man? Now, I mean, there could be trades that you throw out there. Maybe Chicago for Butler or, I don't know, Griffin for in out in L.A. for the Clippers. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of who.
I'm not trying to stay up. He wants to be happy. Let's look at it in the Eastern Conference. Do you think the Chicago Bulls would help the Cavaliers get better adding Jimmy Butler to that roster? If they did that, I would go to Chicago and tell Reinsdorf and them to kiss my tush. For real. Like that's terrible if they did that. If they did that, that's absolutely terrible. Not only are they in the Eastern Conference, they're in your division. They're in the Central Division with them. So that'll make it even tougher watching the Cavaliers get stronger while you give Jimmy Butler up for Kevin Love. I don't think Kevin Love helps the Chicago Bulls. I don't think so. But I agree with you. I'm racking my brain looking for a team that needs a stretch power forward, because that's what he is. I mean, he can play with his back to the basket, but he's settling for staying outside in a corner and makes himself smaller than what he is. Kevin Love is 6'10". 6'10" with a 260 frame. Like, are you settling for jump shots? That dude is supposed to be a problem. A problem. His last two games, he's averaging 6.5 points a game for $100 million shoot. Give me $100 million, I'll sit in the corner and shoot threes all night long. I'll sit there right now with Cracker Jack boxes and soda and shoot. For real, and shoot. Jesus, you make it that much tougher for the team. And I'm not putting this whole loss. It's not all about Kevin Love, but he is instrumental to what's going on right now. There's no way that they should be at this point in time with this Raptor team. This actually gives this Raptor team belief that they can win. Not to say that they're going to go into Cleveland in Game 5 and win it, because if they go in there in Cleveland and get Game 5, I'm going to tell you the truth, the Cavaliers are in trouble. They are in trouble.
Yep. Can you imagine how that place up there in Toronto will be for Game 6? If they come back and have a chance to finish Cleveland and go to the finals,
that
place will be a I don't have a passport or anything, but I don't know how much they would cost, but I think I might be able to get on a plane for that. Just rub me up a little bit just to be in that atmosphere. Because that place will be rocking.
So you'll go to Toronto, but you won't go to Nevada. That's crazy.
There's too much temptation in Nevada to get me in trouble. Toronto, there's nothing up there in Toronto to get me in trouble.
Yeah, right. He's so crazy. Oh, man. I don't know, man. That was hilarious. That was hilarious what he did. He just did that.
But think about it, Ty. That place will go nuts.
I agree with you. I think that's an understatement. I think that literally they have the potential to be in front of an NBA final and showing that they can actually play with Cleveland. I think the strong part of this situation in this series is the home teams need their crowd. Cleveland feeds off of their crowd in this series, even though in the two series before they did not need their home crowd, but now they do. And looking at night and day, the way the Raptors looked on the road, they didn't even look like they belonged to be in the playoffs the way they were playing in Game 1 and 2. And then Game 3 or 4 came around, Bismack Biyombo made himself a household name. I bet you Bismack's next contract, he'll see double digits in the million. It won't be a $6 or $7 million per year. He'll see some decent numbers because the way that he's grabbing rebounds, the way he's contesting shots and blocking shots, owning up to being a Dikembe Mutombo type of guy from Africa, believe me, that's going to fill seats, especially in Toronto if he stays put.
I mean, this could be one of them series where only the home teams win. And if that's the case, Cleveland wins it in 7.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that Toronto is faced with that, you know, but
I actually would love to see Toronto win tomorrow night.
That would be crazy.
Because you know how Heat fans are going to be on Facebook and Twitter and everything else. I just want to see the atmosphere. I just want to see the atmosphere in Toronto. Those people outside will be there 4.5 hours, if not earlier, just to make sure they're there.
Right. I could imagine that going down, you know, them feeding off that vibe if they were to pull it together. But a lot of things have to happen. One, as good as Kyle Lowry shot the ball, he has to continue to shoot that ball with confidence, regardless if he is crowd noise or not. He has to continue to shoot that shot. Reason being, they're going to be there up against any guard that they put in the game. Only Devin Vadova is the only one that plays good on the ball defense. And he's not getting that time this year. For some reason, Tyronn Lue is not giving him a big amount of minutes compared to what Blatt did last year. And not saying that's necessary. Not saying that's necessary. But the way that Lowry got off yesterday, it's like they need to find somebody to play stronger defense. And then if you look at the other side of the ball or across the court from Lowry, DeRozan has back-to-back 30-point nights. Back-to-back. All they have to do is be able to play ball without having to hear that crowd, knowing that the cheers will be booed, and so on and so forth. If they could just get that out of their minds and play that type of ball, that is what it's going to take to knock off the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron is going to do what he's going to do. I wish teams would play LeBron differently and kind of let LeBron go off. I'd rather have LeBron go off like the Warriors did last year. Let him have the 40-point triple-doubles. Let him do what he needs to do. and shut down everybody else. Everybody else gets it. Everybody else gets it. That's the only one that you're going to stop. The only one you can't stop is LeBron. I'd rather that. I'm not sitting
you
here.
You can't let Cleveland fans get into it.
Right.
And what gets them into it? When Cleveland gets out and runs and gives LeBron some fancy alley-oop dunk or get him all or in everything, you have got to limit that as much as possible.
And they actually did that. Like, watch, they had a point where LeBron had dunked on Biombo, and then next thing you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers went to going back and settling for jump shots. If that's what they think it's going to take for them to win an NBA championship or get back to the NBA Finals, this could be interesting that Toronto gets back into this and sticks to their game plan. This Game 5 is definitely pivotal and interesting if they do want to try and steal this series, even though, like I said, it's easier said than done. The way that Cleveland's played the last two games, it can happen. They can do it, but I feel like Cleveland is too strong to fall by the wayside.
And the best news is I can sit down and actually watch it tomorrow night. Nationals got a 1 o'clock game. The Kings baseball game's at 3. There's nothing else I can think of that comes on so I can relax, maybe drink some beers, and watch it. And watch it be a blowout.
Right. That's the one thing I fear. If Cleveland get off and start going crazy and extend the score or the lead up to, like, double digits, then Toronto having to fight their way back in the game. That's the tougher part of the scenario. But once again, I do have to tip my hat to Toronto tying this up. And I'm not going to lie, the way that game one went down, I came right back here in the kitchen. I was telling y'all, I was like, I don't know. Game two happened. I said, there is no way Toronto wins. It is like they heard me. They didn't know it for real. They won game three. And game four was like, man, we're going to play together and get this done, especially DeRozan and Lowry having over 65 points total, between the two of them. Against a team that just dominated the East so much last year, they just went straight to the finals. And this year, I mean, they won 8 straight games before they They won 10 straight games before they got their first loss. Now, all of a sudden, it's like reality sets in for this Cleveland Cavalier team. Anything left before we get away from the Eastern Conference final situation where they are both knotted at 2 games apiece?
Nothing except I tip my hat too. Like, I mean, I thought maybe they get one, like I said, but hey, they got two. Hey, congratulations. Now do me a favor, go up to Cleveland and steal one.
That was a question I put out there yesterday. I said, the craziest question is if they can actually go to Cleveland and get a game. If they can go to Cleveland and get a game, this puts the pressure on LeBron and them, but I doubt it. If they can go there and get one, that'll be just crucial. Okay, I can't – well, the time is dwindling down. We have the Western Conference Final that's about to take place in a couple of minutes or so. Tommy, your thoughts as the Golden State Warriors face a 2-1 deficit in which Draymond Green's kick has been upgraded to a flagrant 2, but he will not miss time. Your thoughts on everything that's going on outside of the game, and then we'll get into the game right after it also.
All the talk and jibber-jabber and everything is exactly what it is. It's talk. It's stupid. It shows how desperate OKC or Golden State is to try to get in the hands of Kevin Durant and the real MVP, Russell Westbrook. It's all it is. It's desperate. Their backs are up against the wall. Exactly what it is. And they're trying everything to get OKC out of their game.
Now, thinking about the kick situation, because this is actually outside of Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, even though Russell commented on the kick situation and Draymond responded, these two are kind of going at it. And just like you said, I feel this is the one thing that I'm concerned about is hoping that Russell don't take the bait, because literally that's what they need, is to basically get him started, and then they can actually go back to being the mild-mannered Golden State Warriors that play team ball and can end up blowing you out without a blink of an eye. You know what I'm saying? But looking at the thoughts of Steven Adams playing decent defense, or let me just say all-around basketball for the Thunder team, being kicked twice in back-to-back games, does this actually slow up his defensive presence or his offensive presence as well, or messes his mojo up in this series where he's actually been a critical piece or X-factor? I really don't want to give him the X-factor claim, but he does deserve it. He's played that type of basketball to get X-factor claim up until this point. Do you think that all of this news, all of the microphones, all of the everything that's been in front of him, does this rattle his will right now?
If he's smart, it won't. He'll just ramp it up even more. Turn it the other way. Because obviously he's getting into Green's head. Get Green to work. Pick it up again. Pick it up even more. See how far he can push it. That defense and everything before the officials say, you got to slow down, back it off a little. I'd push the limit if I was Adams. Because you're getting to Green. Because if he does it again or does anything that's even questionable tonight, you know the officials are teeing him off and getting him out. He's gone. So if I'm Adams, I'm pushing the buttons. Maybe talk a little. Do a little trash talk. Talk in his ear a little bit. Give him an elbow. See what you can give back away with. Because I'd ranch it up even further if I was Adams.
See, and that's the critical thing about Adams. He don't talk junk. The critical thing about Steven Adams is he's the bruiser. Or the old school Rick Mahorn, Bill Laimbeer, not as dirty as them. Nowhere near as dirty as them. That Pistons team back in the day used to just get under my skin. But he does all of the dirty work, you know, rebounding, boxing out, now seeing him going for loose balls on the ground, things of that nature. He's become a gem for the Thunder team. But, you know, just like you said, having Draymond actually trying to call him out, get under his skin, could try and pull him out of his game. Like, I think they're looking for anything to try and find any gaping hole to get through the Thunder. And they've actually played good ball up until this point to not take the bait. And even Steven Adams, as young as he is, people don't even know that Steven Adams is 22 years old, people. And he's built like that, 7 feet. He's like 270, solid like that. Like man, that he's already a man. Like that's crazy. I look at him as a kid. The age that I am is like Jesus. He's a kid. But I just hope that he doesn't fall for the trick or the, you know, anything that Steve Kerr could be drawing up for these guys to. And I don't think Steve Kerr's a dirty coach. I don't even want to look at it like that. But one, I didn't want them to go into the game with Draymond being suspended, because that would have gave the Warriors even more bulletin board material. Let's win it for Draymond. They'd have played inspired basketball. I wanted the Thunder as much as possible to earn this, you know, win, lose, or draw situation. Now it's even, and they go into a game five where they know that Golden State's coming out with their best punch regardless. Regardless, you know, it's going to happen. But with Draymond off of the floor, it would have been one of those surprise situations that OKC could be playing a light game and Golden State come out and be gangbusters and throw up shots from half court and blow OKC out. They have to know the importance of the game. This game is a game seven for both teams. This game five right here is a game seven for both teams. One, looking at Golden State situation, even if they are going back home for a game five down 3-1, that's a danger zone. That's a danger zone for me, looking at it like that. And for OKC, you give up home court by watching Golden State go back home with a 2-2 tie in the series. I think they feel like they get back into the series, it could potentially put the pressure back on you where you guys have a stronghold on the series. We do have a caller in.
Did you see what KD said about Green not being suspended?
He said he wasn't surprised at all. Kevin
right,
Durant
he was surprised because Reed's a star player.
Right. Right. I mean, do you blame him?
No.
I didn't, like I said, I didn't want to see Draymond suspended. I did not. I didn't want to see him suspended. I wanted him to earn it. But I'm in the same mojo as you and KD. Like, he sold it well. He sold it well. And the crazy part about it is they upgraded it to a flagrant 2 but didn't suspend him. But a flagrant 2 warrants somebody being ejected. I don't get that. If it's a flagrant 2, then he's supposed to be ejected from that game. He didn't get ejected. He finished the game, so then what would it lead to into this game was supposed to be a miss or a suspension. But like I said, I didn't want that. I'd rather play on. Just roll the ball out there and do what they need to do. Okay, we do have a caller in queue, a Skype caller calling in. Welcome to the cookout. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
What's up? What's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on, Pat?
Man, it's just another day in paradise. What's good, Tommy?
Nothing much, Pat. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as Golden State and OKC is concerned, this isn't the time for antics now. This is the time for a team, if it's a true championship team, to raise their level of play. So I don't even think the stuff that we saw in game 3 is even going to factor into the rest of the series. Because the reason why they upgraded it from a flagrant 1 to a flagrant 2 is now Draymond is on a very short leash. So the referees are going to be watching what goes on between Draymond and anybody he's with. So he can easily get teed up and get knocked out of the game very easily. And that's the reason why they did it, to give him the opportunity to continue to play. However, anything that becomes even remotely questionable, he's looking at an automatic tech, and any conversation beyond that is going to warrant an ejection. And they're not going to have anything to complain about. So, basically, the Warriors got to bring the noise tonight. And I'm not talking about Bush League basketball. I'm talking about they have to bring what they know is their game. They have to play to their strengths. Because in both losses, they're eerily similar. Quick shots, what they call hero ball, where guys just come down the court and just start jacking shots up real quick. And one of the traps that Golden State falls into is because of their style of play, they can go down big and they can come back quickly. So I think in their minds, they always have this idea of, even if we're down by 20, we can run off 20, 25, 30 on you. They have to get rid of that mentality all together. And what we used to say back in the day is balls to the wall. You got to play now. This isn't the time for games. This isn't the time for antics. This isn't the time for showboating. This isn't the time for, okay, well, we won 73 games. This is a legitimate team they're playing against. Let's not forget, OKC's been in the conference finals 4 of the last 6 years, and they've been in the finals with the 2 most important players, which is Durant and Westbrook, and I think the other kid was there too.
Serge Ibaka.
Ibaka. Okay, so this ain't no chump squad. So, you know, they've kind of gotten snake bit by their own selves, thinking that they can just come out and play any kind of way and everything's going to be all right. It's not going to work that way. They got to tighten the screws. They got to be zoned in 100% from tip-off to final buzzer. There can be no letting up. There can be no relaxing. And even if they lose, they're capable of winning three straight. Probably won't happen. Not against this team. It would take an epic fail on Oklahoma City's part. And it would be purely mental. It wouldn't be anything physical. It would just be a mental breakdown for them. So Oklahoma City's in a good position. They've shown that from a mental standpoint, they've been very consistent. They come out, they play hard every single game. They have, just like every other team, they have their spells where shots don't fall. You can always count on Westbrook, you know, doing the over, maybe not, you know, 1 for 10, but he'll have a stretch where he'll go, you know, 2 for 7, something like that. But for the team to just buckle under the weight, Oklahoma City's not going to do that. So this is a team they have to beat. This team is not going to beat itself. And that's where it stands right now. So if, you know, they're going to really be the team that they think they are, you know, 73 wins, having lost back-to-back games for the first time in NBA history, great road team, all that good stuff. If they're going to be that, they got to show it tonight. They got to show it. That's where I
see. What do you think the mindset is of the stars or superstars on Golden State approaching this game for? Like Steph Curry, you know, his game plan. Because, of course, you know he's going to come out and try and be 100% shooting the ball because, I mean, he didn't have that bad of a day, but, you know, statistically, percentage-wise, he did not shoot the ball well. Klay Thompson also. And Draymond had a subpar game as well. The mindset of this Warrior team, trying to stay away from being close to the brink.
They have to play their game. They can't worry about, once they get down, if that happens, they can't worry about, okay, I got to get hot. Because that's what they do. When they play bad, they turn the ball over, and then you see individuals trying to get hot on their own. Either Draymond Green will start shooting, like in game one, where he took, I don't know, I think he took like 26 shots. That's not even mm-hmm. his game. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, they need all hands on deck. Because I still think that there's, from top to bottom, there is not a team as deep as the Warriors. What makes them good is when Curry's doing his thing, Klay Thompson's doing his thing, Draymond is rebounding, blocking shots, dishing the ball, and then Harrison Barnes is hitting his open shots. Spate hits his open shots. Iguodala comes in and pushes the ball. Livingston maintains the tempo. Those are the things they have to do. They have to stay within that framework of their team. When they lose, they get out of the framework. You have a whole bunch of dudes trying to do everything by themselves, and it don't work. It don't work. It's a delicate balance, the way the Warriors play. It's real delicate, because when they're moving the ball and players are moving, you're putting the defense in a position to where they're chasing, and that's where you want them, because you can't chase everybody down. So when they're playing that way, shots just open up because you got the defense just constantly running, trying to track people down. But if, you know, if you're Curry and you're going to get caught up in this whole thing, oh, I'm going to go at Westbrook, I'm going to take him. See, that takes your offense out of sync. You can't do that. Everything's got to be in the flow of the game for them. It has to be in the flow. And that's what Oklahoma City has done. They've gotten them, every game Oklahoma City's won, they've gotten the Warriors out of the flow of what they do.
Do you see either one of you, do you see it being a blowout, or are you seeing it going down to the last seconds tonight?
No, this one's going to be hard fought. It's a lot riding tonight. The Warriors can't afford to go down 3-1. They can't. Can't do it. If it was Portland, if it was Memphis or one of these other teams, you know, they still, you know, yeah, they know. They know what they can do. This team can score. This team is big, and they can play defense. So if the Warriors get blown out tonight, it's a wrap. It's over. Just the whole thing is over.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming back from that.
I agree with Pat wholeheartedly. I do not think that there'll be another blowout of Oklahoma City sweep. If Oklahoma City can blow them out again, and not to say to get the score up to a 40-point lead, because if they do that again, then I don't even want to jinx the chances of saying what the Warriors could do going back home. But I find it real hard. If the Warriors lose again, blowout form, I don't even think they could go back home and win again. If the Thunder blow them out for a second time in a row and force the first back-to-back loss all season, I know the Oracle gets rocking. I know it's loud out there in Oakland. I really feel like their morale could be crushed if they lose a game by more than, let's just say, 20 points. Because obviously 16, 17 points, that's a feasible game for the Warriors. The Warriors can shoot their way back into a game like that. But if it's a 23, 24-point game, I feel like the Warriors have probably lost their helium or their oxygen, whatever force of air you could think of that could keep them afloat. And I could be wrong in this situation. Of course, I agree with Pat that the Warriors could come out and win three games straight because they have that offensive power. But I definitely find it hard. If the Thunder are up 3-1, that'll be a tough scenario for the Warriors to get out of this. But I don't count them out by any means. The Warriors, they didn't win 73 games for nothing. They did not win 70. They know how to win a game. So I agree with Pat. I think this game is going to be close. Must-win for both of them. It is a must-win for both of them, but more or less Golden State than anything. Golden State, just like you said, cannot afford to fall that low, in which I still feel that they have the team that can actually make things happen, but it'll be tough.
Yeah,
your thoughts on that, Tommy? Go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry.
I'll make it quick, and I just wanted to add, Tommy, great teams do not get blown out more than once in a series. Not great teams. Don't happen. I remember my Lakers back in 85 when the Celtics blew the doors off of us in game one. I think they lost that game by 35 in the Garden. It was horrible. But that was a team just like the Celtics at that time. Both teams were loaded, and you had Hall of Famers all over the court, and it never even got to that point again the rest of the series. So, you know, a team is afforded one blowout in a series. A great team. A great team is not going to get blown out more than once. They might lose, but no, not blown out.
Tommy, how do you feel about it? Do you think that could potentially happen?
I don't think it'll be a blowout. But if you look through the history of the playoffs of this year, OKC might be one of the best teams playing at home. They blew Dallas out the first round at home when they played at home, but I believe every time. Then they played San Antonio. They blew them out most of the time when they played at home. There's something about this year when they're playing at home in the playoffs, they're taking care of business.
But let's not forget, too, Tommy, against San Antonio, game one, they got the doors blew off of them. And that never happened again in the series.
Yeah, but he said that at home. That game was in San Antonio.
I understand what he's saying. But my point is, regardless of where you play, great teams do not get blown out twice in a series. Not great teams. So we're about to find out how great of a team Golden State is.
And just think about it. And I'm not saying hi. I'm not saying anything. This could be possibly the last time KD plays in OKC.
Well, no, because they have to come back, even if the Warriors
Yeah, they
put
what they, but game six could be the last game.
Right.
I said it, Ty, what was it, Monday night? I said whoever won game three would win this series. And I still believe that. I still think OKC wins it in six.
And I think Durant leaves regardless.
I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. Now, I'll say this. I think Russ is gone, as good as gone. I think he's going to try to do what Harden did and try to do it, see if he can do it on his own. Durant, I don't know. It's hard to say. I say, yeah, he's going to Miami or he's going to D.C. That's just about Dev's the top. If you want me, I mean, I really don't know. Seriously. He may be one of these players, old school players like Jordan and Kobe and Bird, and players that me and Ty grew up watching. And all, I mean, that stay loyal. They don't go nowhere.
Ain't no loyalty.
He's one of these, I'm not sure.
Not today's players. You saw the last of that with Kobe. That's over. No loyalty. LeBron changed all that.
Well, what about Dwayne Wade? Dwayne Wade is that with one team since he got drafted.
Yeah, but he's part of that Kobe era, so he fits right in with that. And plus, I mean, damn, if you Wade. And you won a title before LeBron got there, and then you won two with him there. Why go anywhere else? What's going to be better than Miami? And you getting a boatload of cash? It makes no sense to move. But now we're getting into another area, market-wise. Oklahoma City's a real small market. Real small. Tell me what you guys think.
But it's true that they are a small market team, but they sell across the country, or let me get it right, across the world, because of the brand that Kevin Durant brings, and also Russell Westbrook being what teams that they're with, of Kevin Durant being a big name for Nike and Russell being a Jordan athlete or Jumpman athlete, however you address it. So their names are seen across the world. From what they have right now, Under Armour with Cam Newton and Steph Curry, Bryce. That's more or less a big American featured athletic wear here in America. And you know, Nike and Jordan is worldwide, so they get seen and get their money through endorsement things of that nature too. So whether it's a small market or not, especially with the collective bargaining agreement that's coming up next year. There's going to be more money out there for them regardless. And I think if they do push the envelope to get to a final, it was already drawn up how Kevin Durant felt about this season. He was basically saying if they Western Conference final or bust, they got to where he said that it kind of set the table for the tone. And now they're actually playing better than expected. So, I mean, it's still all in his lap. I mean, we still have a month and a half before – we have to worry about this because July is around the corner. I can't even believe, let me say a month and 7 days before July comes around. That's the truth on that one. But
did you see the picture that was posted on Facebook, Ty, of KD?
No,
There was a picture of KD in a Miami jersey with Wade and James.
They need to stop.
There's no way there's no way money wise that would work.
Sure it would. Doesn't Cleveland have the highest payroll in the NBA?
Yeah, but there's no way the money would work for Katie, James, Wade, and then there's reports to where Miami said that Bosch may be able to play next year. And you got Bosch in there, too?
But, Tommy, they're coming up with a new salary cap. When is that, like next year or the year after?
No, this upcoming year. This upcoming year is when they do the
They're going to do a new salary cap, so all teams will be able to, you know. I'm only saying that because I just look at the business side of the NBA, and they've always done that with small market teams. You know, you've had small market teams that have won NBA championships. The Sonics, one time. The Trailblazers, one time. The Washington Bullets, one time. And then it goes, and basketball is kind of funny like that because the bigger markets, it's a lot like baseball. The bigger markets kind of dictate the success of the teams. You know, it's always going to be L.A., Boston. Now with LeBron, it's wherever he goes on the Eastern Seaboard, it don't matter. Cleveland, Miami, back to Cleveland, and trust me, if they find a way to fall on their faces and slip on the banana peel, he'll be the hell up out of there and go somewhere else in the East. He ain't gonna come to the Western Conference because it's too much of a grind. But it just seems to work that way. And I'd love to see both of them stay in Oklahoma City. But it's going to be a hard sell, especially with the Lakers in the situation that they're in. The Clippers got to make some changes. And then you look at the Minnesota, New Orleans. So we could see a trend of different small market teams winning. OKC could conceivably win it this year. And for whatever reason, you know, I think if Durant was really interested in staying there, he would have re-upped by now, man. There's a reason he's keeping his options open. Let's be honest. He's going to get a max contract. It doesn't matter where he goes. We all know that. So he's not going to get more money to play somewhere else. So why hasn't he resigned with them? Nobody's going to pay him more money. What is he going to get? What's the max? 5 years, what, $135 million? Something crazy like that? Plus he got his shoe deal, which was for what, $300 million? Something like that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he getting broke off something ridiculous. Already. I think his shoe deal is what? What is it with Ty? Nike or Adidas?
He's with Nike, and when Under Armour tried to sign him before Steph Curry, they tried to throw him that $250 million deal, and Nike matched it, or they actually went above it. So it's above $250. I know that. So regardless of the situation, he's seeing money from Nike. So that's another thing about how LeBron did it. LeBron wasn't his contract. He's getting 21 a year. Like he signed a 2-year deal for $42 million. He's getting 21. So it's like I don't think he's after the money. Nor was LeBron after that. I just think it's more or less a situation where right now he has to focus on his season at hand. And more or less he was bouncing back from a broken foot last year. People forget that. Like, I don't even know who won the comeback player of the year award. Was it Kevin Durant or somebody else? Like, cause this is interesting in itself. This dude broke his foot, came back, and now potentially could go as far as this season goes. You know, so.
Right. Question is in terms of whether he stays or goes. For me, the question is, why hasn't he resigned? What is he waiting on?
Well, I think as of now, he wanted, like you said, he was doing Western Conference Final or bust. They got there. It's not like he could do it now. It's not like he could start disputing contract issue now. There's a goal at hand now, you know. So, go ahead, Tyler.
There's three teams that I see that could have where he could go. He could stay. He goes, comes back home to D.C. That I really do not see that happen. More and more, I think D.C. ruined their chance this year. I think the Wizards, I say I want that. That's because that's the fan of me talking. I'd love to see him come back home. Shoot. But I think Miami's with that up. That I think that's another place. I don't know why. I just do. I think Miami's that place. I think Pat Riley has proven that if he wants somebody bad enough, he gets it.
Who's proven that?
He said Pat Riley with the Heat.
See? Man, I can see him going a whole bunch of places, man. He could go to the Heat. He could go to the Clippers.
They got enough shooters in Lob City.
Trust me, the Clippers would make room for him. You'd be surprised who they would unload to bring him there. With Chris Paul? Come on, and I can tell you right now who the odd man out is. Blake Griffin. Odd man out.
Blake can come to D.C. then.
See? Now we're exploring a three-way team deal that would send Blake to Washington, Durant to the Clippers, hell, and John Wall.
No. John Wall staying in D.C. Not getting rid of him. Not happening. No, cut. Forget it. I'll give you Otto Porter or Bradley Beal or somebody like that. But no. John Wall stays where he's at. No.
Nah, because based on the scenario that I painted, if Washington is going to get Blake, Washington would have to give up their best player. That's the only way that's going to work.
Then forget it. There's
You're not going to get Blake in exchange for Bradley Beal. That's not going to happen. And you know that, Tommy.
Hey, I know that. Just forget about it, then.
But, yeah, he could end up going because I think he really wants to keep that elite point guard with him. But you know very well, Tyrone, these players, man, they go places where they want to be the guy by themselves. Carmelo did it. Let's not forget. Now, let's remember. Remember when Toronto had Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter? Had both of them. And Tracy was like, nah, I'm out. I want to be the guy. He went to Houston.
Listen.
They were cousins, right?
Right.
I think they are.
Don't forget that Toronto front office had a disagreement with Tracy McGrady before he went to Orlando. They had issues. And another thing is, learning from experience, all of the guys that you just named that tried to go be the guy, none of them were successful. All was about the money. It was all about the money. Now, knowing how humble Kevin Durant is, like I said, I think he more or less chased the situation to see how far the Thunder could get, and they're here with a new coach that showed them really how to win. Let's be honest. Scott Brooks was doing the same thing that Steve Kerr was doing last year. They just rolled the ball out there. The Thunder was so good. It's like, ha, I'm a show-and-tell coach. And this is his first stint in coaching. This is the first time that they really had a coach figure out the mechanics of the NBA and get it to work. I'm going to tell you the honest truth.
Wait, before we start.
I'll let you talk. Hold on. This is the same guy, and I'm going to tell you guys the personal truth. I did not like Billy Donovan just because of personal reasons, because he beat my Hoyas in 06 and 07. Just had a vendetta against him. Didn't like Billy Donovan.
I don't
just
like
because
him
he's a coach.
Florida.
Now all of a sudden, you know, is a situation where I had to learn to like and love what this guy's been able to do. You know, and how he's been able to get the best out of these guys. And the crazy thing is he's been able to rest Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. He's been able to rest both of them.
Let me share something with you about Billy Donovan, though, because Colin Hurd, he did a good piece on Billy Donovan. Do you know when Billy Donovan started coaching?
In, like, 95.
He went to school in Providence. He got his first coaching job when he was 24 years old.
At Marshall.
Under Rick Pitino. Marshall was his first head coaching job. He got his first coaching job under Rick Pitino. This dude,
I know
he's a rookie NBA coach on paper. This dude is a veteran coach. So when I keep hearing people go, well, he's a rookie NBA coach. Come on, man. People need to go back and look at Billy Donovan's history. You're talking about a guy that started coaching at 24. He's been in the coaching game longer than Steve Kerr. I'm not saying you said that. I'm just putting it in perspective. He's been in the coaching game a lot longer than a lot of NBA coaches. Quiet as a scat.
But the difference that I see in this is he had to coach younger men to get this goal as a team. Now he's coaching guys that are, you know, high profile athletes, especially two of the top four or five players in the league, however you want to address it, with Russ and KD there. And to get these guys, like I said, to get these guys to play and rest them. Do you know this is the one thing that used to bite, like, make my skin crawl when I used to watch Scott Brooks coach the Thunder, even though I was pretty agitated when they got rid of him, but watching Billy Donovan get it done, it kind of calmed me down. Year after year after year, Scott Brooks had the team. Do you know Kevin Durant was averaging 41 to 42 minutes a game at 26, 25, 24, 23 years old? You're burning him out.
Tyrone.
Hear me out. Billy Donovan has actually lowered those numbers to like 33, 35 minutes a game. You're actually preserving a murderer out there. Not to use murderer, I think that's a bad word. I'm sorry. But you're preserving somebody that tastes blood at any given time in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey.
My point is that the guy has been mentored properly. If you could paint the perfect scenario for someone rising up through the ranks coaching and then going on to the pros and being successful, Billy Donovan is the poster child for that. I'm not taking anything away from him. In fact, I'm endorsing his ability to coach because he's been taught the right way. So even though he's in the pros, it don't matter. It's still basketball. It's the same sport. And I can guarantee you, him coaching in the pros, it's a lot easier for him than it is for a lot of other guys who are currently coaching in the NBA. because of what he's done up to this point and because who he's been tutored by. Imagine your first head coach that you're working under is Rick Pitino. Come on. Come on, man. Hey, you've been coaching for over 25 years?
Right.
So when they say, oh, rookie coach, yeah, technically he's a rookie because this is his first year coaching in the NBA. In reality, he is nowhere near a rookie coach. Not even close.
Right, but in the league, you get what I'm saying. In the league, he's a rookie coach. That's what I'm saying. This is his first run in the league, and the good thing about it is he has a good core with him, even though one of the pieces isn't there. And Monty Williams was the tragedy that happened to their family. But it, you know, I think Mo Cheeks helped take a lot of that weight off of his shoulders too.
There you go. And see, I'm glad you brought that up. Now, how genius it is of him to retain Mo Cheeks when he could have brought in his own staff. What did he do? He took a guy that has coached in the NBA, that was a player in the NBA, that won NBA championships, and that's his right-hand man. Now, how smart is that? See, that's what I'm talking about. A lot of guys in his position would have came in with a whole new staff. Okay, I just want we hear it all the time in sports. Like, okay, I want my guy. Okay, and then you hire this assistant, you hire this assistant, you might bring along a couple of people that was at Florida with you for the 10 or 15 years you were there, you know, yada, yada, yada. What did he do? And you brought up a very good point. That emphasizes what I'm talking about. He got Maurice Cheeks sitting there right with him. How valuable is that?
I think it's huge. That was a big time pickup.
But Scott Brooks is in D.C. now. How many of them guys that are there that coach with him? Does Brooks bring to D.C. now?
I don't know how many of them he'll have because a lot of that staff that he had in Oklahoma City are scattered about. There's like, I think there's two in Sacramento as assistant coaches. There's one in Toronto as well that was a part of his staff too, and Mark Bryant and another one of the coaches that they have at OKC remain there. So he's going to have to build from – he's going to have to start from scratch.
Well, at least I know one place Durant ain't going.
Where's that?
That's my squad.
Hey. I don't even know who your squad is, but even with that being said, I don't even want
– he's not going to Phoenix.
He ain't going to L.A., to the Lakers. That would be
also backwards. Right. Just like I said, they're work in progress. Luke Walton being a new coach, too. I think that'll be a lot to get figured out there, too. But
they got so
they need to bring Jerry West back that in the front office.
No, they won't.
That's not going to happen until they get rid of Numbnuts.
Cupcake.
No, not him. The son of Dr. Buss.
Oh, Jim Buss.
Yeah, man, he ain't. And the sister, Jeannie, won't just drop the hammer on the kid. And
That's her brother. That's her brother.
Jeannie's still with Phil, right? I'm telling you. Me and Ty talked about this. He's leaving New York soon and going back to L.A. I have a weird feeling.
Well, we know he's leaving New York. I don't know if he's going back to L.A. It's probably a good bet that he does. But, yeah, because Jerry, he put the Warriors together. he orchestrated that when they had Mark Jackson. He made all those personnel moves. So yeah, they're in desperate need because they talk about us getting what's the dude from Toronto that's from LA. The other point guard, the other guard they got, not Lowry. What's the other kid's name? What's his name?
That's with the Lakers now?
No. He's with Toronto. The rumor is that he wants to come back home to L.A. What's his name? DeRozan. He's from L.A.
Oh, yeah, he's from Compton. Okay, DeRozan, he's a shooter. He's not the point. He's a shooter.
We got a team full of DeRozans. That's the last
I know.
Another
that's
DeRozan.
True.
We got plenty of cats that can jack the ball up and don't know what they're doing. You know, and his mid-range game is nice. He can't shoot a three to save his life. But that's okay. But, yeah, we don't need another cat. But getting back to KD, I'd like to see him actually stay in Oklahoma City. And I'd like to see Oklahoma City see how long they can, you know, get a run going. Because he's in his prime. And so is Westbrook. But, you know, the problem is that they played there long enough. Now, you know, the big city, the bright lights, and the cashola's calling for both of them. Westbrook still has to play next year, right? And then he's eligible to get out of there. And that kind of, I think that's what makes the situation sticky for Durant, because it's like, okay, do I take the max deal and then Westbrook bolt? What do you think, Tyrone? Do you think that's part of the equation?
The interesting thing about Russ is I think both of them are looking at this season right now with Kevin Durant. They said it may take a one-year deal and see what Russ do in the offseason on the next season. But I think as far as the team goes and the brotherhood that they built with a coach that they believe in, because I think they both really did not believe in Scott Brooks. I honestly do. Like, but Scott Brooks would talk to both of them, they both wouldn't even, like, really look at him. Like, now you see them looking at Billy Donovan and knowing that they buy into what he's bringing to the table. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like they both stay home. Bias me or non-biased, I really feel like they have a legit team that they're actually on the fly molding, and they look good on the fly molding, and taught them the real way to win, not just let their athleticism or what they can do with a ball at the end of the day. They're winning games meaningfully. If they could just clean up that, oh, they're going into the fourth quarter with a lead and lose the lead situation, Billy Donovan actually got them over that hump this season. Like, this season. Like, it'll baffle me if one of them left a situation that was built around the two of them.
Okay, so now we've solved the piece of the puzzle. Durant takes the two-year deal with an opt-out after year one, as opposed to taking the max. If he takes a two-year deal with the ability to opt out after one, we know he's waiting on Westbrook to see what he's going to do. If he takes the max deal, then he doesn't care what Westbrook does. Doesn't matter. So that's a piece of the puzzle we just solved. That will tell us a lot. If he takes a two-year with that one-year opt-out, which he could do at the season's end, let's say they win the title, season's over, he goes for the two-year deal, and then he can opt out after 1 year. That means him and Westbrook can lead together.
That's what they want. That's what a lot of people want. But look, we'll see how that comes. We have a game to catch. Okay? I need plugs, closeouts, promos from the both of you. I'll start with you first, Pat. Thank you for stopping by the cookout. Give me a plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the cookout.
Oh, I'm just glad that I caught you guys before it was over with. And enjoy the game tonight, man.
Thank you, for sure. You too. Hopefully you enjoy the game too. Tommy, you already know what to do. Plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the cookout.
Good show. Thanks for coming by, Pat. It's always nice to hear from you. Very knowledgeable person, even though it seems to be always Golden State. I can't wait till football season starts, because then Pat can come around even more because I'm telling y'all, I'm doing it again. The Oakland Raiders will make the playoffs. I'm geeked right now. I'm keeping everything in. Nationals are up 5-1. We've got 3 home runs. Murphy's homered again. Keep it rolling, Nets. Keep it rolling.
SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here. y'all stay tuned, Sports City. I am leaving this area Thursday, so it'll be tough to see if I can get on air while I'm on the road for this holiday weekend. But with that being said, y'all stay tuned. Like I said, on our Twitter, our Facebook pages, we will be posting. Y'all stay tuned into that situation. I will be in the so-called, quote-unquote, heartland of America, a.k.a. Ohio. So hopefully I can catch a Cavalier game out there. I will be out there. That will be crazy, though. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turned me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise it wouldn't kill me. But I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, is true. All I got is this money.
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.